speak. Proverbs 23 this morning, I'm going to pick up with lesson number 76. I'm hoping that we can get through the rest of these lessons before we split up into our summer Sunday school, if we're able to do that. With the work on the building, I'm not sure. So Proverbs 23, we looked last week at lesson number 73 and 74. We talked about the importance of the right example once you get the heart of your child. You know, every parent wants that. Once you get it, work hard to get it, tie those strings. You know, that's one good thing about Christmas season. If you get a couple days off work or whatever, there's a little extra time. I wouldn't waste it sitting in front of the television set watching a football game or something. Those, that's fine. But, I mean, boy, you need to tie the string to the heart of a child during that this season of the year. There's a lot of opportunities to do that. Once you get that heart, be sure that your walk is a good example, because the kids will be looking at you as a hero. I tell you who absolutely worships their dad is Brother Caleb. That guy, man, I mean, he absolutely, whatever his dad did to tie strings to their hearts, worked. But then his dad was the right kind of example all those years in front of them. And that young man still worships the ground that his dad walks on. I tell you what, that's a blessing. So work hard at doing that. Now, look at we're in chapter 24, and verse number 10, okay, we finished up with 23. Verse number 10, here's a good verse. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Okay, familiar verse to you. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Here's lesson 76. Living life wisely involves learning to endure adversity. Learning to endure adversity. Adversity is going to come to each and every person. Nobody will live an adversity-free life. Adversity is going to come to individuals. Adversity is going to come to every marriage. Adversity is going to come to every family. And it will come at work. And it will come in other places. And it will come several times over. It will not be one and done. Okay? You get through a season of adversity, you may go free for a while, but you can rest assured that adversity will return. Now, the wise man said that the reason for failure during times of adversity is because of insufficient strength. Okay? Adversity is going to come. I've got to get through it. That's my goal. The thing I need to get through it is strength. He says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, I want to say this today. Nobody has to faint during seasons of adversity. Nobody has to. I don't think we'll ever be able to stand before God and say, Lord, I really threw in the towel on the Christian life just because I had a tough time. And God's going to say, well, that's okay. I understand. You know, no problem. I don't think God will say that, okay? God will be disappointed. God will be displeased if we throw in the towel of the Christian life because of a measure of adversity. So we've got to learn to get through it. Adversity is not intended to crush us. Adversity is intended to build us and make us stronger. Everybody's thinking about New Year's resolutions and not all that business as usual, you know. And some people, not everybody, but some people face the new year with a resolution to trim down, lose some weight, you know. And one of the things you got to do if you're going to lose weight is eat less and exercise more. That's about it, you know. And you can go to all this fancy stuff, but really that's what it boils down to. Eat less and exercise more. Exercise puts your muscles through adversity. But the exercise is good for your muscles. The adversity makes your muscles stronger. You know, at first it begins to tear the muscles down. And as you continue to exercise, those muscles begin to rebuild. And hopefully you're in better shape after a period of time of exercising. This is what adversity is in my Christian life. Adversity is intended to make me stronger, not kill me, not crush me, not break me, okay, but make me stronger. So when I enter into a season of adversity, it is wise for me to seek for strength, because strength is the antidote to failure during adversity. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So more strength, greater strength, is the antidote to failing during adversity. You've all known, I'm sure you can all think of two different people. You observe two different people. They have a similar season of adversity. One person enters into it and survives. The other person enters into it and fails. Okay? Similar people, similar seasons of adversity. Some people come through it, others don't. Now, there's no partiality with God. So it wasn't God saying, you know, I want this person to fail, I want this person to succeed. No partiality with God. You know, there's no favoritism that way with God. It's just like you don't play favorites with your children in your family. God plays no favorites with children in his family. Okay? So one person fails. The difference is one person found sources of strength during the adversity and the other person did not. So my whole purpose becomes, how do I get through this? Where can I find some strength to get through this adversity? Well, let's go to a very familiar verse and look at it this morning for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, actually beginning in verse number 28. Here is a very, very familiar passage to you when it comes to strength and fainting and so forth. And it's very interesting what God says in this verse. So I want to take a few minutes to look at it today. We're talking about living life wisely involves learning to endure adversity. Okay? Get through a season of adversity. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard, Isaiah said, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Well, first of all, that's a good beginning. It's a good beginning for me to know that my God doesn't faint. It's a good thing for me to know that there is no searching of his understanding, no searching of his strength, okay, that he doesn't grow weary, okay? So I begin with God being strong, not weary. Not fainting, okay? Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Well, that's what I need. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Well, amen. He's got it. It's available to me. Look at what he said, verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. Okay? Or fall. Now, it's one thing for older people to grow weary and tired. Something altogether different for young people to grow weary and tired. You know, I mean, I look at the energy that my married kids possess, and I remember when I had that much energy, you know. I look at the energy these high school kids possess, and I remember when I used to have that much energy. You know, the older you get, the less energy you have. You don't think about youths fainting, okay? But there's going to be seasons that are so strong in adversity that the youths can faint. But look at the antidote, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's interesting that God compares us to eagles many times in the Bible. The eagle is to the bird kingdom what the lion is to the kingdom of the beasts. He's the king of the beasts. The eagle is the king of the birds, if you will, the king of the fowl. Okay, there he is. Now, when I grew up in Georgia, I never saw any eagles. Never saw any eagles growing up in Georgia. Moved up here, moved out to Iowa, and saw eagles. Saw eagles on the Mississippi River. Go out here to Starved Rock. You can go. You take your family out sometimes in February or January, February. You can see the eagles, and they're beautiful. I mean, beautiful. And it's very easy. Their flight is distinct. They soar. They catch the wind currents with their big, long wings, 6 feet spread in some cases. And they catch the wind currents and just soar upwards. They're incredible animals, incredible birds, and God compares us to eagles many times in the Bible. The eagle is impressive. He is powerful. But I'm sure you know that about every so often, some people say every 18 months, some other people said every 2 years, some people just said every so often, some books I consulted. Every so often, an eagle goes through a process called bolting. They go through a molting process. The molting process, during that time, he loses his old feathers and grows new ones. He loses all those old feathers, and I read through all the scientific explanation of how that happens. I didn't figure that was necessary this morning, okay? He loses the old feathers, and he grows new ones. Now, he comes out of that process of molting with a new look. He comes out of that process with fresh feathers. That's what he comes out with. He's now during the process of molting, and the truth of the matter is, the eagle needs the molting process to renew his feathers. Okay? If he doesn't go through the molting process, he can't renew his feathers. He's stuck with the old ones. Okay? So he has to go through the molting process. Now, Isaiah, when you see that word right there, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You see that phrase right there? That is a reference to the molting process that eagles go through. Okay? That's renewed, fresh feathers. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll come out of the molting process with fresh feathers. There comes a time in our life when we need fresh feathers. We need it. Okay? What brings us fresh feathers? Adversity is to the child of God what molting is to a bird. What molting is to the eagle. The eagle goes through that period of molting. During the molting process, the eagle is ugly. He is earthbound. He's weak. He's losing all his old feathers. He's going to be gaining new ones. But during that process, it's an ugly, nasty, unenjoyable process. But he has to go through it to come out with fresh feathers. If he doesn't go through the molting, there's no fresh feathers. And when he gets those fresh feathers, he's like new. I mean, it's just unbelievable. More beautiful. In fact, the older they get, the wider their head becomes, the darker their wing, the feathers on their wings become. Okay? So the more times he goes through that molting process, the clearer and more distinct his colors become. And he is beautiful, more beautiful all the time. That's what adversity is or ought to be to a child of God. Adversity is not intended to crack us. Adversity is not intended to smash us. Adversity is intended for us to grow new feathers, fresh feathers. And going through adversity, seasons of adversity, over and over again in our Christian experience, is supposed to help us. It makes us a better person. Now, nobody enjoys adversity. You know, the eagle is used to soaring. He's used to being, you know, top. You know, there are some cases where eagles carried away small calves. You know, small little calves. I mean, that's how powerful they are. Swoop down, take the small calf in their claws, and think about that. Think what it would take. Think of the strength it would take. Of course, those eagles, you know, they can turn and fly right into the sun. They have that unique eyelid that slips down over their eye and allows them to fly. And that's how they, if there's ever a bird of prey after an eagle, that's how they slip their bird of prey. They fly directly into the sun. And they can do that without harming their eyesight. Of course, the bird of prey following, he can't see. An eagle has eagles are incredible animals. You can do a whole study on them and see how it pertains to the Christian life, because we're often referred to as eagles in the Bible. Okay? But this part right here, you know, he's used to soaring. He's used to being in the sky. He's used to being powerful. During the molting process, he has no more strength than a featherless chicken. He's earthbound. He's grounded, if you use aviation terms. He's grounded. He doesn't enjoy that. Okay? But if he's going to come out with fresh feathers, he's got to go through it. It's the God creative process that eagle must go through to renew his feathers every 18 months, every 24 months, so that by the time he's an old eagle, he is beautiful. He has distinctly bald head, white head, distinct with feathers, you know, the bald eagles especially, black feathers. And this is what happens to the Christian. The Christian, adversity is not enjoyable. Adversity can be ugly. Adversity can cause us, if you will, to be earthbound. Adversity can cause us to lose our joy and lose our strength if we're not careful. Adversity is unenjoyable. However, if we will just endure and not faint, we will come out on the other side with fresh feathers. Fresh feathers. Now, I'll tell you what. All of us need that. None of us need to go through our Christian walk adversity-free. We grow stagnant. We grow stale. It's like the old eagle. If he didn't get the molting process, his old feathers would be worn out and nasty. The abuse of weather, snow, wind, rain, all that stuff, grit. But he goes through the molting process and he comes out pretty. All right? And this is exactly what the Christian needs. He must go through the process of adversity. Our great need is not to avoid adversity. Our great need is to go through it. For us to desire an adversity-free life, first of all, is not real. Won't happen. And second of all, it's not good for us. I preached a message one time called The Greatest Need is a Need. Our greatest need is a need. If I go through life with no needs, why do I need God? I need adversity. I need to The old feathers have been knocked off. I need the old scales to be knocked off. I need to come through that thing and come out on the other side fresher and purer and stronger with God. So the thing here that I want to do is not avoid adversity, is to get through it. And the thing to get through it is waiting on God, waiting on God, waiting on God. Now, because it says they that wait upon the Lord. Waiting does not mean sitting idle. Waiting does not mean doing nothing. Waiting does not mean taking a leave of absence from my Christian responsibilities. This is what happens to people who hit seasons of adversity. Well, I'm just going to wait on God. So I'm going to stop everything, just wait on God. That's not what this means. In fact, that's dangerous. That's critically dangerous. You can't just stop everything when you're going through a period of adversity to wait on the Lord. The word wait means to bind together. To bind together, like you take a rope, two pieces of rope, and bind together. So the verse reads, they that bind together with the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, you know what happens to Christians who hit periods or seasons of adversity? Sometimes a person that's going through the molting process, you know, they stay away from church because they don't feel like going. The adversity is ugly. And we feel ugly to ourselves. We look ugly to ourselves. And, you know, I just don't feel like church. I've talked to people who've hit seasons of adversity and they stay out of church. That's the last thing you need to do. Okay? If you're waiting on God, if you're binding yourself together with the Lord, you're not going to skip a service. You're not going to lay out. You're not going to skip your Bible. You're not going to lay aside all your Christian responsibilities. You're going to grab all those responsibilities and you're going to do the best you can to bind yourself together to God, waiting with Him through this adversity, through this molting process. Fresh feathers are the result of molting. And renewed strength is the result of adversity. That's what renewed strength is. It's the result of adversity. Christian, don't faint. And when you hit a season of adversity, do not assume that waiting on God means I stop everything and just sit idle. I'm going to preach about in a different context about this morning. You know that you do not have to be in reverse to be going backwards in the Christian life. Just like if you've got a car on an incline, you don't have to be in reverse to go down the incline. All you have to do is what? Be in what? Neutral. This is what happens to people. Adversity comes. It's not enjoyable. Sometimes it's not even understandable. You ask the wise and you cannot put the answer with the question, why? So it's not enjoyable. It's not understandable. So what I'm going to do is I'm taking a leave of absence. Let's wait on God. It's not what that verse is teaching. It's not what it's teaching. What it's teaching is, man, if there's ever a time to get close to God, it's in adversity. He's the source of strength. He's the one that helps you not to fail. You bind yourself together with Him. Okay? Bind yourself together with the couch, with the remote, the television, the DVDs. That's not going to help you. It's God that gives us the strength to get through the adversity. Okay? So waiting on the Lord does not mean I take a leave of absence from all my Christian responsibilities. You just sit idle. I'll be going further backward, friend. I'll croak in that adversity. I need adversity. You need adversity. We all need adversity. Just like the eagle has to go through the process of molting. God's people have to go through adversity. When the eagle does, he comes out on the other side with those fresh feathers. I will tell you how many times in my Christian life, 31 years now, I've needed fresh feathers. You have too. The way to get fresh feathers is to get rid of the old ones. What adversity does is knock the old feathers off of us and get through it. It gives us fresh ones. That's living life wisely, learning to endure adversity. Don't faint. You don't have to faint. There's no excuse to faint. Okay? I know sometimes it gets difficult. I understand that. You know, I don't like saying, and I may slip and say it, but I've tried to avoid saying, you know, when you're young, you just learn things when you get older. You used to make statements like, I don't care what you're going through. You can make it. You know, truth is, I do care what you're going through. It does get heavy sometimes. Sometimes I can't explain it for you. You have no explanation for what I go through sometimes. Okay? But I know this. We don't have to faint. We don't
have to faint. If we faint, it's because our strength is small. You know, I was thinking about 06, 07. I was thinking about the people that came to salvation or came to just good commitments in their Christian life in the last 12 months. They're in this church now. My heart just rejoiced. Just rejoiced. I mean, you know, I wish you could have been in the bus meeting room yesterday morning. You know, there was a bunch of people going out visiting yesterday that just have been saved or the last 12 to 18 months. It's just a blessing. But I will say this. If you're a new Christian, adversity is going to come. Sometimes there's a mentality that, well, once I get saved, all my problems are over. That's not true. Adversity comes to the Christian. And it recomes. And comes again. But don't faint. You don't have to faint. Please don't faint. Bind yourself together with the Lord. Don't dismiss your Christian responsibilities. Come to church. You say, I don't feel like it. That's when you need to come. Nobody's going to think anything. Everybody's going to think, man, praise God, he or she is here. Okay? Just get through it. And when you come out the other side, fresh feathers. Man, that's a good feeling. That's a blessing. Come out the other side with fresh feathers. It's like the molting process for the eagle. Okay, I don't have time to get into another lesson. And my wife instructed me to clean up some of this, so I got to do that. Amen? So if you want something, come down and get it right now because I'm going to be dumping it in the cooler here to take it home in a little bit. All right, God bless you. See you downstairs unless you'd like to get something.